Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. Okay, where am I? Some of you already know. This is another one of those weeks. Seems like I got a lot of those last couple of years. I've got a lot of those weeks, but especially the last few months. And, okay, I'm not in Oklahoma. Okay, A, not in Oklahoma. B, I'm not in Israel. Too bad. C, this doesn't look a thing like Hawaii. D, what do you think? Pink curtains? Where am I? Florida, yes. My mother's house. Right after I finished the video last week, I took off because of the little bit of delay that we've got in our property. And so I'm down here trying to get her house on the market. So I've been here almost all week and had to end up repainting the whole thing. I love to paint. Oh, it's just one of my favorite things to do. Sarcasm rules. So just going through 40-something years that she's been in this house, or 40-something years, going through everything and we're having a big garage sale tomorrow. So, hey, if you're anywhere close to Jacksonville and you'd like to, well, this video won't be out by the time we have the garage sale. So anything that's left, you know, we'd be glad to deliver it to you probably. So that's where we're at right now. Thank you guys. So many of you emailed last week about our property. You know, it's just we've had a little bit of a delay. I'll mention a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. And also, talking about the Shema last week, received so many emails and a couple of phone calls on that also about Adonai Echad, He is One, and how we are to, and of course I had talked about this recently in a message called Our Father's Inherited Lies, but you know, sometimes we just need to listen to it, the same basic thing, a couple of times. And I had a couple of people that called me, so appreciate you doing that, just to tell me you got it, okay, you got it. So, with that, my apologies this week. I'm sitting here in front of a computer. Don't have a real, you know, it's just the eyesight on my computer. And I didn't even bring a microphone. I walked off, kind of got out of town pretty fast and got going. And so I'm sorry about I'm not sure what the sound is going to be like today. Didn't even bring my snowball microphone. Okay, this week we're going to be in Deuteronomy. I didn't write the numbers down. Chapter 7, verse 12, through chapter 11, verse 25. Of course, Parashah 46. Also, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, through chapter 51, verse 3. And 2 Kings 1, 2, and 3. All right. So, with that, let's go back. This Torah portion this week is just loaded with so many things. And it's, why not? It's a condensed version. You know, this is a condensed soup. Okay, it's like opening a can of Campbell's soup and forgetting to put the can of water in there. You know, you just get the absolute strongest stuff that Moses can go through and just tell the people. I'm supposed to have a realtor come over. I keep kind of looking out the window there. I'm hoping he doesn't come right while I'm videotaping. But he's just condensing everything down, okay? Oh, before I get there, I got one news story I've got to give you. And then we'll get to the Torah portion real fast. But Obama, okay, he has done something. He has given us a clue. In fact, Israel, you need to listen to anybody in Israel, anybody that follows Israel. You need to listen to this, because Obama, in his great wisdom, has given us a fix to the Palestinian problem in Israel, okay? Now, you didn't hear this on any other news story, okay? This wasn't on Rush or any, it wasn't on Fox even, CNN, MSNBC, none of them picked this one up, okay? This is mine. And if I hear it from someone else, I'll know that it came back to here. It came from me, okay? Now, here it is. Obama gave us the fix to the Palestinian problem in Israel. He didn't even know he was doing it. And the way he did it is he did this. I saw this morning that the economy is getting so bad in America that the illegal immigrants are wanting to go back home. So the economy is so bad in America in many places that they're wanting to go back to Mexico or wherever they came from. Okay, so Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, listen to this. Okay, this is how you get rid of the Palestinian problem. Okay, you just destroy your economy and your country to the point that they want to leave and go back somewhere. Well, yeah, it wouldn't work, would it? Because the Palestinians don't have a home, because they're not a country, because they're not a people, because they're not a nation. They're just a group of political pawns that really don't have a home. Well, I don't know. Maybe you guys can take it from there. Maybe it's a start, you know? It's a start to some conclusion of how to deal with the problems of life. Okay, it's too much for that. You know, you sit around all week and do what... Sit around all week. You do what I've done this week in painting most of the house and cleaning up all the stuff and everything else. You deserve a little bit of stupid humor, okay? Starting in chapter 7, we're going to start reading verse 12. And I just challenge you in your Torah studies this weekend, just go through and read the words. Don't just look at the words this week, but read them, because there's just such... To me, this is one of the Torah portions. I don't know what it is really, but it's just got so much, such powerful message. Because you are listening to these rulings. Probably that's the reason I like it so much. Because Moses says to the people, because you're listening, okay? He's had so many times for 40 years that they have not been listening. And now, for a brief section of time, they're listening. He says, because you're doing that, keeping and obeying them, Adonai, your Elohim, will bless you with the covenant and mercy that he swore to your ancestors. He will love you, bless you, and increase your numbers. You know, this is like going back to, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And you've got to think, why? Why in the world did he do that? You know, why did he create everything knowing that we would be such a stiff-necked and difficult people to deal with? It comes back and you read this word, he, okay, get a grasp of this. He, the creator of the universe, the Holy One of Israel, the one who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all those omni things that we learned in Sunday school, or they tried to teach us in Sunday school years ago. I guess a verse like this means more to you. And I'm thinking as I'm talking here, the greater your God is in your own life. I was listening to a song the other day. I had just some music playing in the background. How great is our God? And then, you know, of course, that reminds you of the songs, Our God is an Awesome God, and various ones. The more vast your concept is of the God that you serve, the more these words mean to you. Because the more that you grasp the incredible nature of him and the massive gulf that is between us and him, we understand more, maybe, these words that he loves us and desires to bless us and to increase our numbers. He will also bless the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, your grain, wine, olive oil, and the young of your cattle and sheep. In the land he swore to your ancestors he would give you, you will be blessed more than all other peoples. There will not be fertile a sterile male or female among you, and the same with your livestock. Adonai will remove all illness from you. He will not affect you with any of Egypt's dreadful diseases that you have known. Instead, he will lay them on you, those who hate you. And it goes on from there. You know, there is a place that we will not have to, that we will live out words like this. Now, these words are written specifically to a group of people that are going to be possessing the land, okay? And it, I believe, says that in the land, this is the life that we will have. Now, I get there is some discussion about this and some people that will probably disagree with this. But outside of the land, we will not see the perfection of these verses. But we will see a progression in our lives that we are moving toward that. And I believe that as we get closer to the physical land, that we are going to, our spiritual being is going to line up more with these words, which in turn means that our physical being is going to line up more with these words, and that as we approach and get closer and closer to being in the land, and these verses literally being fulfilled in our lives in the millennium, as we get closer, we should see our lives beginning more and more to line up with these words. That sicknesses and diseases and things that we've dealt with in the past, as our spiritual being lines up with obedience, our physical being lines up with obedience, that we should start to see things happen in our lives. That, wow, when is the last time that I had something wrong with me? You know, I just don't think I need to take that stuff anymore. And, you know, things will just start to happen in our lives as we progress in all of this. By the way, commercial for Styles for Dean. Okay, there's the phone number. I have no idea who Dean is or where he is even. So maybe if he's in Florida, you can, you know, call him and tell him, hey, I saw your commercial on a broadcast the other day. Okay, now chapter 8, let's go down to verse 4. Where's verse 4? It's still here. It's right after 3. He goes back and he says, and this is a recap, during these 40 years, kind of jumping along here, the clothing you're wearing didn't grow old, your feet didn't swell up. Think deeply about it. Adonai is disciplining you just as a man disciplines his child. He reminds them of what has happened over the last 40 years. They are wearing the same clothing. They're wearing the same shoes that they wore, that they had on 40 years prior to. Now, I believe there was a miracle in this, and I've taught this in my tabernacle teaching, that the shoes actually, you know, expanded with the child. The little toddler comes out, you know, give me new shoes. And here he is 40 years later, and he's still wearing those same shoes. But those shoes have actually expanded with him. His clothes have gotten bigger as he's grown. Maybe not, but that's the way that I read the thing. I just see it as that. So the point of this is that he's telling them, go back and remember, okay? And today, this should be something we're watching today. Keep track. Maybe you don't do this in a journal form. I've never been able to do that. You know, I do it for 2 or 3 days. I don't have enough time in life. Don't take time in life, I guess would be a better way to say that. But I keep mental notes of things that happen in life. And I've done that over the last couple of 3 months here with the tornado. That's why I said to you earlier, this problem with our property, as far as the Right now we're in a title problem, and it's about to be cleared up. It's not going to be a big deal in the end. But I haven't gotten real stressful over the thing, because I have seen, I remember in the last 2.5 months since the tornado hit Journey Ranch, you know, it's a journey, by the way, that I remember so many things that have been absolutely, I could not have done that, okay? I could not have scheduled that timing. It's like the last time I was here, which was about a month ago, almost a month ago. Daniel and Stephen, our two boys, had scheduled a trip to go see their grandmothers, okay? Their sister, their two grandmothers, and they just scheduled it, you know, and they were going to be here on the day that we ended up moving her from this house into another place, okay? I couldn't have done that. I guess I could have, but it would have been much more difficult than just allowing him to schedule it. So I just, you know, the point is keep track. Keep at least a mental note of the things that you see that he is doing in your life today. Because in the end, it is going to give you greater faith for the days that are ahead, okay? It's going to give you, it's going to start building your faith. And this is something that we need to do, not only with our own lives, but also with our children, okay? As we're bringing our children up, we need to be showing them, telling them, allowing them to be a part of things that are going on, so that in turn it's building up their faith as we walk this out, okay? So, you know, keep track of the clothes that don't wear out. Keep track of the shoes that just seem to be expanding over time. Oop, losing my picture there. Okay. All right, verse 7 of this same chapter. Where is it? For Adonai, your Elohim, is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams, springs, and water welling up from the depths and valleys and on hillsides. It is a land of wheat and barley, grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food in abundance and lack nothing in it, a land where the stones contain iron and the hills can be mined for copper. Every section of this would go back to something of their life, okay? They had lived in the wilderness for 40 years. They had lived in a place where they had to trust daily for their food, their manna, and for their water. There was not enough resources in the desert. One of my favorite programs these days is on Discovery Channel. It's called Dual Survivor. And it's Cody Linden, and which is one of my favorites as far as his skills go, and Mark Canterbury. Totally opposite people. Go on discovery.com, and the full episodes are actually on the internet if you haven't seen them. You can go on there. There's no charge in watching them even. So since there isn't any TV around here, I've been kind of watching those a couple times in the evening. But these two men are from totally different backgrounds. One of them, Mark Canterbury, is a jungle survival expert. He actually survived a long time and was in the swamplands of Florida. Cody Linden is, on the other hand, is in the upper is in the desert of northern Arizona. And as they both agreed, the hardest place to survive is in the desert, because there's nothing there, okay? It's not that you have to boil your water, it's that you can't find water, okay? Big difference between, you know, well, I gotta wonder if we gotta boil this versus there's nothing to boil, okay? There's not a lot of fuel, there's not a lot of food, especially anything kosher out there. So they were having to really trust on a daily basis, but that trust was going to bring them to a new place, and they were going to be coming to a place that was going to be just absolute incredible abundance, And the realtor just pulled up, and I got to stop there. So I'll be right back. Okay, well, that's done. So they were going to a place of abundance, something they had never had before, and they were going to have to get used to it. And it was going to be not just the getting used to it as far as living in it, but they needed to remember what they'd come through in the past, okay? They needed to remember that they had lived this life of everything being supplied for them, and it wasn't now that they were self-sufficient, okay? But their sufficiency was still coming from him, and they needed to acknowledge this sufficiency. And then we go down to verse 10 of chapter 8. So you will eat and be satisfied, and you will bless Adonai your Elohim for the good land he has given you. Now, out of this has come this, I've got to move my mouse over, sorry. It was right there in my eye or something. Out of this has come this idea that at the, you don't pray at the beginning of your meal, but you pray at the end of the meal. Okay, well, we tried that for a little while, and you felt like such a heathen because you'd forget, right? So I don't think this is really discussing and trying to give us some special doctrine of when you're to pray over the meal, okay? And there's the key to it is pray over the meal, all right? Here's what this verse is saying to us, I think. It is telling us who we are to bless, for giving us things, for giving us the land, for giving us the food, for satisfying us spiritually, emotionally, physically, on a daily basis. We are to bless him for it. Now, I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble through the years with people. You know, they invite you to dinner, and they ask, you know, and they say, "Will you bless the food?" And I say, no, I'm sorry, I don't bless things. I will bless the one who gave us this, if you'd like. And of course, some people get a little offended at it, but others, once in a while, will go, oh, yeah. See, blessing things, blessing food, comes from a time that people thought that demonic forces entered into the food, okay? And so we need to bless the food. We need to pray over the food. Well, no, we don't need to be doing those things. What we need to do is we need to bless him for what he has given to us, okay? If it's kosher, then we are to pray and we're to bless him for giving it to us, all right? So let's take a little bit of a difference here. It's like the new moon. People say, well, you know, why are you blessing the new moon? No, I don't bless the moon. The moon doesn't need to be blessed. You know, it was put up there 6,000 years ago and was probably blessed already when he spoke it into existence. I mean, when you're spoken into existence, you're pretty much blessed already. So we're not blessing moons or blessing, whatever it is. You're not blessing your spaghetti. You're blessing the one who has given you these things. At the time of the new moon, we bless him for the idea, okay? For the season that he has given us. But the point is very, very clear. And make this, I mean, here, kids, those of you that are made to watch this broadcast, your parents, this may be spiritual abuse in the end, that they make you watch me on a weekly basis. Tell you what, I'll give you a good one to do. You catch them every time that they sit down for a meal and they say, God, please bless this food. You stop them right there in the middle and say, hey, parents, we're not blessing things. Let's bless him. All right. That'll give you something to get back at them for making you watch this. Okay. I have no idea where we're at timing-wise because I had to turn this off, so who knows where we are. I'll just go until I finish, okay? So don't forget, that we are to bless him. And then verse 11, be careful not to forget Adonai, your Elohim, by not obeying his mitzvot, rulings, and regulations that I'm giving you today. All right? Don't forget who we're blessing, all right? We can use his name in vain when you just say a blessing and not really think about who we are blessing. And this doesn't mean that we don't have some repetition in our prayers. I remember my granddad years ago. I can't remember. I wish I could remember this. There was a prayer that he prayed every meal. But, you know, I never thought it was repetitious. Yeah, I wish I could remember it. But though it was a repetitious prayer, he still placed meaning into it. I felt that at every meal that we sat down to, that when he said this repetitious prayer, that he had meaning in it. That's what we were talking about last week. Paint on my hands there. This is what we were talking about last week. I was talking about is that there's nothing wrong with the saying the Shema every week. But are you saying it just out of ritual? Or is there meaning when we say Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad? Hear. When you say the word Shema, it should be hear, Israel, hear. Hear this. So Shema Israel. That's how some people are saying it. That's how some of you are saying it. Go back, and if there's not any meaning behind it, if you're not thinking about it, remember using the little boy that said, using the name of Elohim in vain is when we're thinking about him, is when we're talking about him without thinking about him. That's using his name in vain. Don't forget who is doing these things in your life. Chapter 9, verse 4. Don't think to yourself, after your Elohim has pushed them out, the enemies ahead of you, it is to reward my righteousness that Adonai has brought me to take possession of this land. No, it's because these nations have been so wicked that Adonai is driving them out ahead of you. It is not because of your righteousness or because your heart was so upright that you go to take possession of their land, but to punish the wickedness of these nations that Adonai your Elohim is driving them out ahead of you, and also confirm the word which Adonai swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Therefore, understand that it is not for your righteousness that Adonai, your Elohim, is giving you this good land to possess. As we find ourselves, as we talked last week, we find ourselves in the day that Moses spoke of, that in the last days, these are the things that shall come upon you. In the last days, Israel, you need to be obedient to the Torah like never before, because this is what is going to be happening around you. As the scripture is being fulfilled, Israel, talking to you, as the scripture is being fulfilled, you need to remember, it's not about you, okay? It's not that you and I woke up one morning and said, wow, I think I'm going to return to Torah. You know, I think I'm going to do away with my Christmas trees. I'm not going to hunt Easter eggs anymore and eat chocolate bunnies. I'm just righteous. No. You know, do you understand this? Living the Torah today is not your idea. That's going to mess up some people. Okay, probably not many of the ones they're watching me, of course. But, you know, you guys are more perfect than those that listen to other broadcasts. Just kidding. But, you know, it is kind of a humbling thing, is it not, to consider that you and I didn't just wake up and decide to do this. But it's because he searched us out, and then he revealed to us this awesome word and is now leading us to literally live out the prophecies of old. And he's doing it, not because of our righteousness, because the next verse says, you're a stiff-necked people. He's doing it because of a promise that he made to our ancestors. He goes on then, and he recaps in the rest of chapter 9 their failure. He takes them back to the golden calf. He takes them back to the things that happened in their lives, the failures. See, sometimes it's just as, maybe it's even more important to remember the failures as it is to remember the successes. You know, as time goes on, as things happen in life, as, you know, what we live out becomes more of a distant memory as you know, years pass, things that happen to us that were our failures, we tend to sometimes kind of forget about those things and start to remember just our successes. Well, Moses goes back and says to him, I want you to remember your failures, because you're prone to this, Israel. You're prone to failure. This is what, you know, some of what Paul's writings were about. You're prone to walking away from him. And if you have in your being a fear of walking away from him, a fear, this is where I don't believe in eternal security. You know, once saved, always saved. It takes away the fear. It takes away choice. It takes away our ability to choose whether to love him or not, whether to serve him or not. We need to have in our minds this thought that we do always have that choice. And maybe in having that thought in the back of our mind will cause us to, that fear of having that choice will cause us to stay on the right path. All right. Now, in chapter 10, this is one of those that only crazy people, as somebody told me last week, I had, you know, when I talked about the Trinity and stuff, they said, you know, most people won't go there. You know, most of the people we listen to, they won't go there. They'll say, well, I don't believe in the Trinity, but then they won't go there as far as trying to figure out, you know, and teach it, because it's just, it's a third rail, okay? It's just, it is one of those third rails. And here's another third rail. Therefore, in verse 16, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and don't be stiff-necked anymore. Any longer. This does not say that a person should not be circumcised physically. Okay, what it's doing is putting in perspective. Okay, that unless you are circumcised, this is what the writings of Paul is all about. That unless you are circumcised of heart, the outward circumcision is of no meaning. But if you are circumcised of heart, then your natural tendency will be to obey whatever he says. And the scripture is very clear. In the millennium, no one will enter into the temple that is not circumcised. So circumcision is not done away with. In fact, we'll see, as the children of Israel get ready to cross the Jordan River, that they have to go through circumcision. But this is not teaching against physical circumcision. It's putting it in perspective, that it's not outward appearance first. I had a friend of ours went to dinner with the other night, and they were talking. They're great church folks, and you know, nothing wrong with that. It's their generation, okay? But they were talking about somebody that has been coming to church, and the comment was made, well, you know, they're coming to church, but they're not a member. And for once in my life, I kept my mouth shut. I know my wife will be watching this before I see her again. You're not going to believe it, honey. I let it go, you know. Once in a while, one out of one, right? I let it go. When I heard this, that, they're coming to church, but they're not a member, is all I could do not to say, do you really think, I mean, do you guys have an address that, you know, when you get your, you know, your weekly report of membership or your monthly report of membership, do you like fax that to heaven or something, you know? Do you really think that up there is a, well, this person's a member of this church, and well, this one's a member of this church, you know? If you're not the Book of Life, folks, it doesn't matter how many churches you're a member of, you know? So I just, one out of one, okay? I did it. Kept my mouth shut, walked away, and probably won't do it again, though. All right, chapter 11, verse 12. It is a land. This is talking about Israel. It is a land Adonai, your Elohim, cares for. The eyes of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohim, are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I can't explain this one. I've never been able to find somebody that could explain it really well. Talked about this many times in the past. You know, Israel. You think of Israel. You know, I mentioned Israel to people, and you can tell what's in their heart just by mentioning Israel. You know, I was some other folks that I was talking to the other day. Some of you don't even know this. Myself and Paul Sherbo have a great time once a week. We haven't been able to do it every single week, but it's the Mike and Paul show. I tried to get him to call it the Paul and Mike show, but he wouldn't do it. So. And he's the one that does the internet over there in Israel. Is he's got the IFBN websites and the broadcast over there. So you can go on IFBN radio. Just type in IFBN. That's India Foxtrot. Bravo November, for those of you that are military-minded. So type in IFBN radio, and it'll take you to the site, and the schedule's there for the Mike and Paul show. Hey, I can call it the Paul and Mike show on my broadcast. There you go, Sherbo. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit this past week, and we've talked about this many times. But I mentioned that I was recording something in Israel, you know, a radio interview in Israel. And, you can see just this blank stare over some people's face. And other, oh, Israel, you know, and you see what's in somebody's heart spiritually. What is it about Israel? Like I've said before, Israel is just not that great a looking place. You know, most of it is pretty, but it's not about the physical. It's the fact that his eyes are there. He is upon the land. His anointing, he walked upon it 2,000 years ago, and the anointing is still there. He walked upon it, upon that land many times in previous. In fact, you know, Melchizedek, different times that we see Aleph Tav walking upon this earth. He's in Israel. And so his anointing is there. That's what makes Israel so special, is that he is going to be there, and that's going to be home for us. And in that day, he will be our Elohim. We will be his people. Okay, over to, real quick, we're going to finish up verse 22. For if you take care to obey these mitzvot I'm giving you, to do them, to love Adonai your Elohim, to follow his ways and to cling to him, then Adonai will escape all the nations, expel all the nations ahead of you, and you will dispossess nations bigger and stronger than you are. Wherever the sole of your footsteps will be yours. You know, isn't this what he said to begin with? That if you will, he said, you know, because you are obeying, and now he says, basically, if you will continue to obey these words, this is what's going to happen. The message is still clear today. The message is still the same today, folks. Thousands of years later, the message is still the same. If we will obey. and if we will continue to obey. And we will obey not because of duty, but because of love. If we will do these things, then the scripture is very clear. He will bless us, He will guide our life, and in the end, He will guide that life to a land that His eyes stay on all the time. He who watches Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, He doesn't need the idea of destroying the economy of Israel in order to drive the Palestinians out. What He needs, what He desires, and what He is bringing together today is a group of people that will one day expel the enemies. See, it's never happened in the past. There's not a single time in history of Israel that Israel has ever really possessed the whole land. It's coming. One day it's coming. And it will be because of a people who rise up and don't care about public opinion, don't care about political correctness, but because of a love that they have for the Holy One of Israel, they will do what He says. And because of that, He will do what He says also. All right. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, we'll see you next week. Or you'll see me. I guess that's the way that I keep forgetting. I don't see you. You see me. But God willing, I'll be home next few days and get everything going with our own house, get ourselves and everything happening there. But for now, this is what I got to do is finish up on this one. You should see if I turn this thing around. You should see the mess. I mean, you know, it looks like literally a tornado. The white tornado. Me. Came in, and it's been an interesting time, so I make a great deal on some old Tupperware. Just give me a call. We'll see what we can work out, okay? Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week, and remember, if we will obey, the blessings will overtake us. We'll get to those words in a few weeks. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom.